All right, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back into the Red Zone Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here for the Wisconsin State Journal, joined by longtime football and basketball beat reporter Jim Polzine. And it is a wild, hectic week here in Badger sports coverage. I don't know, we got spring practices going on, basketball and baseball, or hockey season's just wrapped up, but Barry Alvarez has announced his retirement. And we have been running around like crazy covering that. Jim, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm gassed, man. It's been a week, and it's only Wednesday night.
Should be. You've worked hard. Todd has worked really hard. Todd Molesky, our colleague. You guys have done
You have too.
Well, thank you. But, you know, you're in the middle of the spring practice. It's, you know, not exactly a slow season for you. So, good work. Something people should know behind the scenes is that, you know, it was an invite-only event yesterday, and you know, so the State Journal only gets a limited number of invites to it, and Todd and I were there at the event. Colton watched it from home, and in between doing Zooms and stuff like that, he's transcribing quotes for us, which I don't think people can understand how helpful that is, to get home from the event and have some quotes transcribed for you. It's one of the more time-consuming parts of our job, and Colton, you're the man.
Well, you are too, because you're supposed to be on vacation, as is Todd, and we're all still here. Well, I guess Todd was finally able to start his vacation today, thankfully. So anyways, lots of stuff to get into from Tuesday's event, celebrating Barry Alvarez. We're going to recap that, and then we're going to talk about what's coming up next. If you want to hear like our more general thoughts about what the Badgers should be looking for in an AD and those type of things, go back to last week's episode. It was Jim, Todd, and I on here talking about that stuff. Today, we're going to talk more about, you know, the nuts and bolts of what's going on, how this process is going to work out, because we learned a lot about that today. Well, I should say yesterday for you guys listening to this. So Wednesday of this week, we learned a lot about that. So we're going to talk about that, and then a little bit of stuff about spring football practices, which are heating up. We're supposed to see the first open practice on Thursday if the weather cooperates. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on there with the Badgers football team. So lots to get into. We'll get into it right after this. All right, 3, 2, 1. All right, Jim, let's start with that retirement ceremony for Barry Alvarez. We saw Rebecca Blank, UW's chancellor, speak, Governor Evers speak. Matt LePay was the MC and hosted a little Q&A afterwards. I thought, you know, it really matched the vibe of what it seemed Barry Alvarez wanted, was just kind of a fun day, tell some stories, and just kind of let everybody know, like, he's retiring and kind of start the victory lap, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, and he's certainly earned it. You know, when you spend 30-plus years and everything he's done for this university and this athletic department, he deserves the victory lap and the celebratory tone. You never know how those are going to go. They can be emotional. And that's kind of what I wrote about for today was, you know, that, you know, as he pointed out with Roy Williams last week, the North Carolina coach who retired, he broke down several times. And Barry Alvarez had watched that. He didn't want it to be that way for his retirement ceremony. So he came out cracking jokes and, you know, thanking people while, you know, mixed in some stories. And, you know, I thought Matt LePay did a really good job as usual of kind of emceeing the event and leading it and, you know, knowing when to ask the right questions. And, you know, I thought it was a really impressive event. UW, I said this in the video yesterday, UW usually does big events well. They really do. That's one thing that I think they do really well. And I thought this was, you know, I thought they handled this well. And it couldn't have been easy to kind of pull that all together in a pandemic where you have to socially distance and you can only have a certain number of people in the building and you have to worry about TV and stuff like that. So kudos to the people there. A lot of people behind the scenes that never, you know, you never see their names or faces, but they did a really good job of handling that event.
Yeah, and I thought one of the more interesting parts of it, not only, I mean, I thought Alvarez had told some funny stories and had some good stuff in there about, you know, his wife and his family and the things that are and the people that he's been around for all these years at Wisconsin. But I thought it was interesting how that could have been a platform for, you know, somebody, if it was Chancellor Blank, somebody else to start talking about what's coming next or, you know, how they're going to handle that or you know, like the last few times that Wisconsin has turned over athletic athletic directors at that retirement ceremony, you also introduced the next one. Like, I thought it was interesting and probably the right move that you just kind of made it Barry Alvarez's day and let the rest of it happen, you know, Wednesday. Start looking forward after that ceremony on Tuesday.
Yeah, by the way, 18 years ago or 17 years ago, at Pat Richter's retirement ceremony, they named Barry. That's happened before, and you're right. I think the best way to do it is give him his day in the spotlight, give him his day in the sun, and then today Chancellor Blank came out and kind of outlined what's next in the search process.
Sure. So make sure you guys go on Madison.com and check out all of our coverage from Tuesday of the Barry Alvarez retirement ceremony and what it means. I mean, Jim wrote about, like you said, the emotions of the day and how, you know, pretty impressively Barry Alvarez didn't, you know, held it together when he's, you know, reflecting on his career and his time here at Wisconsin. Todd wrote about the changes and the challenges that Alvarez has faced and now faces between, you know, being the athletic director, being the coach here, and now heading into retirement. We got more about football reaction, kind of the way that the fact that he brought the football program back to, you know, national prominence is really, in his mind, the cornerstone of turning the whole department around. So lots of stuff on Madison.com. Make sure you guys go check that out. But want to focus a little bit more on what happened Wednesday here, Jim, because Chancellor Blank and the athletic board had a meeting today, Chancellor Blank released a statement. The athletic board had a meeting today, kind of saying, you know, here's the board, here's the group of people that's going to decide who's the next athletic director at Wisconsin. And you wrote about it multiple times. Make sure you go check that out on Madison.com. But some really interesting names on that list of people. And we're going to talk about, you know, a few of them here, but I thought one that jumped out right away is Wisconsin head football coach Paul Christ. You know, the relationship between athletic director and football coach is vitally important. So it does make sense that Christ would have some input, but the fact that he's on the committee, especially this time of year, is pretty, you know, eye-opening.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about before the show started, like a football coach is is a job that you're working, you know, essentially 12 months a year on, right? He'll go from spring practice in April to May, should have been really his only quote unquote downtime, you know, before summer workouts and summer camps and whatever recruiting they'll be able to do. You know, it's just, this is a different year, obviously. So I think a good chunk of his May is going to be filled up in this role. And, you know, it's interesting to see to me how he handles that and, you know, how much time he has to put in. He's a smart guy, and I think he's a good guy to have on the committee. I think he'll add a fresh set of eyes to it, but that was the name that jumped out to me too. I mean, two head coaches, a really good cross section, I thought, of people, you know, a couple of people that aren't necessarily in sports, you know, athletic board members, some former athletes, you know, it's a pretty good cross section. I think the number, the 9, sticks out to me, just to have that many different voices and set of eyes on it, I think is a good, I think anytime you get down to like, if it's like 3 people, then you run the risk of, you know, just having
one person's thoughts kind of strong arming it, I feel like,
yeah, or one or two kind of taken. Yeah. And so it's a good group. I think if you're a cynic, you can look at this group and say, while Barry Alvarez isn't on it, his fingerprints are all over it to some degree. And I point this out in the story that, you know, he's got 2 people he hired in Paul Christ and Yvette Healy, the softball coach. Lando Tucker, he hired as an administrator, you know, years ago, and who's now the men's basketball coach. Ted Kellner is his best friend, also a longtime UW donor, a big time donor. And Jeff Mack used to play for him. So, you know, that's 5 of the 9 right there. Not to mention that Pete Miller and Laurel Rice are athletic board members or were athletic board members who had to work closely with the athletic director, obviously, when he's on the job. You know, so it's a lot of ties to Alvarez. Now, on the flip side, when a guy's been around for 30 years and 17 years as athletic director, finding someone without ties to him is going to be difficult, right?
Right.
So, and I, you know, one thing I should probably mention, I don't think we've written this yet. I had a couple people reach out and say, why isn't Pat Richter on the list? Because he'd be a natural guy to turn to, right? Richter works for a search firm these days, and he's in the middle of a different athletic director search. So there's a conflict of interest. So even if he wanted to, you know, be part of a committee or be someone you could bounce ideas off, it's a conflict of interest for him to do so. So that's why you don't see Richter's name anywhere. If Chancellor Jenner was someone she thought she could turn to.
Yeah, I think that's really important to mention, because I think if he were available to at least be a consultant or somebody to talk to about it, I think he would be. Like you said, there's a conflict of interest. His current job doesn't allow him to be. I don't think this is UW turning their back on Pat Richter or, vice versa. This is very much Pat Richter can't be involved, and that's why he is. It's nothing, personal, because I've seen those comments in our Facebook or on Twitter, stuff like that. Like, why isn't Pat Richter, jumping in here or stuff like that? Like, yeah, I think it's important to say this is entirely because he's not able to.
Right, right. I mean, obviously, the other thing that jumped out to me is that obviously Chancellor Blank has had a lot of time to think about this. It's no secret. Barry Alvarez said yesterday that, he went to her and said he was going to step down in January. Obviously, that got delayed because of the pandemic. So she's had a lot of time to think about who she wants on this committee. So I'm guessing she put a great deal of thought into it. And like I said, I think the thing, when we heard yesterday that Pete Miller was going to lead a search committee, I kind of thought it would be somewhere in the 5 range, right? I didn't know what the number would be. The fact that it's 9 people, that to me stood out. And I think that you can get a lot of good input from a group that size.
For sure. Make sure you go to Madison.com and read Jim's story about it, because I think one of the things that stood out from Chancellor Blank's statements today and what was in your piece, she knows the magnitude of this hire. Like, this is, we talked about it in the last podcast. I encourage you guys to go listen to that. But this is a really turning point, crossroads moment for UW, college sports as a whole, this department, because you're coming off the pandemic. You're going to make this money back in the next 2-3 years. Like, you're not going to have to worry about that aspect of it relatively soon when you're talking about, years in college. But there's so many other things coming. Like, this hire, this person has to be ready to take on all these new challenges and new things, like, while at the same time continuing to push Badger sports forward. And it's going to be a really interesting balance. So I think the acknowledgement of, they understand how big this hire is, not only because you're replacing Barry Alvarez, but because of what's coming for college sports and UW itself. It's good to see people acknowledge that, because it's going to be a pretty monumental task. And, knock on wood, it doesn't happen just for our jobs, but if they get it wrong, like, you're setting yourself back potentially decades if this doesn't work out.
Yeah, and I think I said that on the previous podcast, Colton, is that, you walk a fine line in college athletics, where it can, this has been they've sustained success for a long time here in really the two major programs, the one that create the most revenue, football and men's basketball. But it's not impossible to see it going the other way quickly, right? We're not geographically in a place where you're just going to continue to bring in blue chip recruits in either sport. And so it can, if you don't have the right people in charge, it can get away from you pretty quickly. And like you said, if you don't have the right person in charge of the entire department, it can go south in a hurry. So you're right. It's a pivotal hire. I think she realizes that. And that's kind of the way I led my story today, is she realizes that this is a crucial, crucial hire. And that's part of the reason why I think she's casting a pretty wide net. She's reached out to people in the Big Ten and beyond for nominations and people she might not be considering. And I think that's the way to do it. I've seen a lot of grumbling on Twitter from people who say, if they don't hire McIntosh, this is, it's a bad move and they should just promote him. And I completely disagree with that. He might be the right person for the job, but let him win it on his own merits. And because you've done an exhaustive search and seen who's out there, and And you can measure him up against other people. Don't measure him up just because he's been under Barry Alvarez for 5+ years. See who's out there and who wants this job and who has ideas to you know, take this position forward, because like you said, it is such a crucial hire. You know, if you're a football player who hasn't started for 2 or 3 years, you don't just get elevated into a starting role as a senior, right? You mm-hmm. competition. And to a larger degree, that's what you have to do here, is just see what else is out there. And, you know, I think she understands that you want someone, ideally you want someone with Wisconsin ties who knows this place. But that's not a disqualifier. If you find someone who's dynamic and has other, there's a lot of boxes to check, right? I mean, I think we know that. If you find someone who fills almost all the boxes but isn't a Wisconsin person, I don't think that should disqualify that person from getting the job. So she's going to, I'm interested to see who this search committee comes up with, who's interested in the job too. I think we kind of alluded to that. Is this a job that people want? Is following Barry Alvarez something that people are going to shy away from? You know, I don't know. I'm curious to see who wants this job.
Yeah, because you're balancing so many things. Like I mentioned, the challenges that are coming, replacing a legend like Barry Alvarez, but then 80 jobs at schools like Wisconsin, you know, hasn't opened up in, when was Pat Richter hired? Like 1981, I read?
No, 89. It was right before.
89, oh, excuse me. Okay, so it was right before. Well, still, I mean, the job doesn't open up very often, and it's one of the premier schools, and it's a Big Ten school, so you're talking about, you know, guarantee a lot of money coming in every year from the Big Ten Network. And, you know, and when you know that as an administrator, if you think about a lot of the athletic directors and administrators in college sports, you know, and not maybe in the not Power Five conferences, every year are looking like, how am I going to balance the budget? Where am I going to get revenue? How am I going to sell tickets? Well, it's like, yeah, Wisconsin, you got to do some of those things. You got to make sure that you continue what you're doing, but you got a fan base that cares. You've got people that want to come to games. So you've got a lot of things already checked off to make it attractive. You just got to be the right person to continue to elevate those things. And your point about McIntosh, I think, is important, because, yeah, Chris McIntosh is the most convenient hire. Like, if this was a situation where they had to push Barry Alvarez out, or, you know, something were to happen, then, yeah, you elevate the person who's right there, and then you figure it out later. But this is a situation where, as you mentioned, Chancellor Blank's known this is going to happen for a long time, has had a chance to, you know, maybe through back channels or, you know, informal conversations, see who's interested and see who might want this job. And then I think it's a responsible thing to do, to put it out there, get as many opinions, get as many people in the pot that you can, and then see who's going to be the best for the job. And I'm with you that if you've got somebody super qualified, just being, you know, the Wisconsin ties, the Wisconsin grad, whatever it ends up being, that should be the cherry on top. It shouldn't be the whole sundae. It shouldn't be the reason that you hire somebody. It should just be like, oh, that's a bonus that they're already here, or they already know the people around. It's just one of those things where in college sports, where it's so steeped in tradition and it's so like, you know, the colors, all this type of stuff, I get why people get emotional about that. But when you're trying to make the decision, you've got to be as rational as you can. And the ties and the emotional aspects of it, you've got to somehow block out.
Yeah, especially now, right? Because like you said, it's such a pivotal time where there's so much change. You want somebody to be able to handle all this change and take this, you know, elevate this program. You're like, that's the thing I think she mentioned today too, is like, you know, move it forward and try to make it even better, right? And Barry Alvarez did a great job. Pat Richter did a great job. Ideally, your next person takes it to even another level while navigating this difficult world that we find ourselves in with college athletics. So it's going to be a challenge to do that, you know, to follow in those shoes. But I think there's a lot of smart people out there. And you know, we'll see what else, you know, we'll see what the search committee comes up with that they hand over to Chancellor Blank, whether it's, you know, I think the number Pete Miller said today was 3 to 5, and it was kind of a ballpark figure. There might be 2 obvious candidates, who knows? There might be 6, who knows? I think they're gonna have some good choices to kind of throw forward for Chancellor Blank to decide. And then I think it's hers. Once it's in her hands, I don't know. She's a little bit of a wild card, right? I mean,
Yeah, it's one of those things. You have this whole committee that gives you the names, but then it ultimately comes down to blank and maybe one of her top lieutenants. But it's going to be mostly a blank hire. That's the role of the chancellor of the school. I'm fascinated to see what that list ends up being. And, you know, when it gets the time that we can, send in that FOIA request to see who applied. You know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see that interest, as we mentioned before, and just the pool of candidates that emerge, because, like we said, Wisconsin's, you got to think, a desirable job to anybody that's rising through the ranks of college administration. It's just, do you have what it takes to win out against this type of field?
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, I'm fascinated by the who, you know, who's interested in, and from where, you know, and there's, you know, we tried to put together a list and admittedly was not easy because we a lot of the time stuck to Wisconsin ties. But there's gotta be people out there that we're not thinking of and that,
oh, absolutely,
that she's going to hear about. And you know, if they're interested, they can come forth and say why they think they're the right person for the job.
For sure. All right, Jim, let's make sure everybody goes to Madison.com and reads all this stuff. It's going to be, you know, until there's a next athletic director, there's going to be continuous coverage of this. It's going to be something that you're going to see on our site and in our paper for a while coming up here. So we'll have plenty of chances to talk about potential names or candidates and all that type of stuff. So let's turn forward and look a little bit at football here. Spring practice has started, first one since 2019. And one of the things that we learned early on doing Zoom interviews, again, talking to the quarterbacks, one of the first sessions was that a big change in that room is Paul Christ taking over as the position coach. The way that he's conducting meetings and what he's asking these quarterbacks to do on a day-to-day basis, it's not just a normal like watching film and getting better yourself, but a lot of what they're doing is going up to the boards and taking a really full offense approach, like draw up a play, explain every detail of it, why we're doing it. And to a man, these quarterbacks we asked about it said that their understanding of the offense is already, you know, 2-3 steps above where they were last season. Now, a lot of these guys like Graham Mertz, Chase Wolf are younger in their, you know, on the field experience. But if, I mean, that should be your offense or your offseason goal. You're not going to be able to see them take the strides on the field really until the fall, till they get some real competition. But their offseason goal is make sure that mentally they are elevated and they're advanced past where they were before. And from everything that sounds like, that's happening.
Yeah. I'm interested in this process too. You know, it's going back to basics a little bit, or kind of taking a step back in order to take a couple steps forward. And I think especially with a young group, it's important, you know, just to not skip any steps and to kind of do it this way. You know, I think diagnosing what went wrong, and I've said this before too, but diagnosing what went wrong last season in the middle of a pandemic was always kind of difficult to do. But I think Paul Christ taking over the quarterback's position and kind of a fresh set of eyes there and an experienced set of eyes, a guy who's worked with quarterbacks his entire life, will ultimately be a good thing for a group of guys, for a pretty young group of guys in that quarterback room. So, you know, it's good to hear from them that they're getting something out of this and that, you know, that this is a positive thing and they think it's helping them. And we'll see if in the fall, if, you know, if the results match the preparation.
Yeah. And you mentioned the work that Christ has done throughout his career with quarterbacks. I went through his resume and started looking at quarterbacks that were under him for back-to-back seasons, which, number one, doing that, I was pretty surprised that there's only four. And I eliminated one of them because the guy, I can't remember his name now, but he only started like four games in the first season, then became the full-time starter in the second year. But you look at, it's Derek Anderson or at Oregon State, 2003-2004, Tolzien, 2009-2010, and I'm counting Hornibrook just because he played most of 16 and then going into 17. Every time that Paul Christ has had a quarterback that he's coached go into a second year with him, they've gotten better. You look at Derek Anderson, his touchdown to interception ratio the first year is 24-24, and that was 29-17, which is still a lot, but they were throwing a ton out there. Tolzien went from 16-11 to 16-6, and then upped his completion percentage to 73%. Hornibrook went from 9-7 to 25-15 for touchdowns and interceptions. I mean, you're talking about a sustained period where if Coach Chris has his you know, his style, his coaching influence on a guy for back-to-back years, especially at that position where it's, you know, no question the most position on most important position on the field. There's a proven track record of results. It's wild to think that Wisconsin's going into a year where Graham Mertz with seven starts under his belt is far and away the most experienced player in a room, but that's where they're at. And that's where this position is. So Wisconsin's got to hope that that track record and Mertz's talent that we've all seen kind of all comes together here in the starting in spring.
Yeah. Even without knowing that, or even without you pointing that stuff out, I do expect a big jump anyways, just because again, last season was so weird. You look at Mertz, he's got the tools, right? He seems to have the it factor. He's got everything you need and want in a quarterback. It's just a matter of doing it on the field. And I think we know that that will come eventually. And I do expect next year to be much better and much smoother. But the continuity part of it, I think, is important. The other part of it is, this isn't going to be a normal offseason, but it's going to be a more normal offseason than last year was, right? And that had to be a factor in him maybe not developing the way he should, and not to mention all the things he went through during the season. So yeah, I'm expecting a big jump. I think it'll be a pretty significant increase in those numbers. I think you'll see much, much more efficiency from him next year.
Yeah, and adding to it, another topic we want to talk about here on the football side, Paul Chris calling plays again, I don't think can be overlooked. And we talked to Joe Rudolph, the associate head coach and offensive line coach and run game coordinator, and I don't know, seven other titles they were going to throw his way this offseason. His title little section on the website goes about as far, you get to two lines of it, only guy that does that. I found that funny. But he talked about calling plays last year because Chris, as we reported, didn't call plays because he had so much of his offseason wrapped up in dealing with COVID and trying to get the season back and all these things. Just didn't feel like it was appropriate for him to call plays. Didn't feel like he was prepared. And Rudolph said this on Wednesday, basically that when games are going through the run game and they were able to pass off of that, he felt a lot more comfortable and he felt like they were doing pretty well. But then the games where that didn't work, so you got to assume he's talking about, you know, Northwestern, Indiana, Iowa, the games that they lost. He just didn't feel like being able to coach the offensive line, figure out new pass progressions and or new pass, you know, concepts to be more successful than they were being, and, you know, calling those plays at the right time. He just didn't feel like he was able to do that. So I do think it's all going to kind of tie together where you've got Joe Rudolph, who's got a good track record coaching this offensive line when that's what he does. Paul Chris coaching quarterbacks here when that's what he does. And Paul Chris calling plays again. I think all that should come together. And, you know, I've been going through it. This offense, I know it was only a 7-game sample size, but it was the worst offense I've had in like 10 years. You know, it's, That can't happen again because you've got the talent on the defensive side. You've kept Leonard. The dynamics of the conference as a whole are really shaping up that if things go right offensively for Wisconsin this year, I think there's a legitimate chance that they're in Indiana or Indianapolis again playing for a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I am interested to see kind of how the shifting of roles plays out. And a couple new voices on the coaching staff too, which I think probably never hurts just to have fresh eyes and fresh voices. There's more turnover this year than there has been in previous years, but I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. So I think you're right. I mean, this is a huge, huge year to you know, bounce back. Last year was a weird year in a lot of ways, but to kind of take this program forward. And I think you're right in that Ohio State's probably not going to be as good as they were. The rest of the West Division looks winnable. Jim Leonard talked this offseason about kind of he wants to stick around to see this program take the next step, and this might be the year to do it. Now we're a long ways. It's April 7th right now, so we're a long way from that. But I think, you know, you look at the possibilities, and it does seem like there's a chance for something special.
Absolutely. All right. Well, make sure you guys go on Madison.com and check out all of our spring football coverage because we've got stuff coming basically every day but Sundays for the rest of the month. So lots of stuff coming your way spring football wise. And then, like we've been mentioning, Oliver Barry Alvarez coverage of a ceremony and what's going to happen going forward with this athletic director search. All that can be found on Mastodon.com. We're going to keep a little bit shorter this week, because as we mentioned, we've been running around a bunch, and Jim is supposed to take some time off. We're going to see if that's going to be able to happen, but now he's shaking his head. Probably not, but all right. Well, we will keep it short this week, but hopefully next week, a little bit more normal. I want to get a mailbag because I want to hear your guys' thoughts on spring football and hear your guys' questions and talk them out with Jim. So plan on that for next week, but make sure you're following Jim on Twitter, Jim Polzine, WSJ. You can follow me as well, CBartWSJ on Twitter, and then Mastodon.com. Buy a subscription, people. This is a week that not only with the news side, election coverage, you got Barry Alvarez coverage, you got spring football, you got hockey stuff still going on. Cole Caulfield might be winning the Hobie Baker Award on Friday. We'll see. Tons of stuff going on. Make sure you're subscribed online or in print if that's your thing too. So make sure you're doing all that. Jim, thanks so much for jumping on today. Listeners, we will be back next week. Thanks very much for listening.